Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers all raise their shirts. They are the SEC Tournament Champions. Mark will hold it, and so he and the Volunteers will hold the trophy. SEC Tournament Champions to match their regular season title.
You know who Hendon Hooker is, returning quarterback for Tennessee, a dark horse Heisman candidate.
I haven't even said it on my own airwaves yet. I think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia this year.
Assuming it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia who wins the SEC, what other team is there that could challenge for the SEC title?
Well, I'm a little curious about Tennessee. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see if they can make that step and be a division contender.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
Yes!
Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. This is 3 and Out. Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett with you. Fear not, Nate returns tomorrow. Did you already mess up over there? You did, didn't you?
I didn't mess up.
You sure?
I'm positive.
He looks a little nervous. He looks a little shook, Brett. I'm not sure. What do you think? You look a little nervous. What happened? Volume not high enough? It's okay.
In my headphones.
Oh, is that it?
I think he got here too early and was overprepared.
That definitely wasn't it.
I got here at about 5:45 this morning.
You absolutely did not.
Nobody else was here.
That is inaccurate. Why you got? You should start the show off with a lie. It was I who was here at 5:45, putting in the work.
I'm
the
surprised
prep.
You didn't cancel the show.
Why would I do that if I was here at 5:45?
I'm surprised.
I was up and ready
night.
To go.
Or maybe you tried and I wouldn't let you.
Well, we now know that's not true since you thought of it mid-argument there. Is this what I get on this one? It's our last day doing a show together without Nate. It's your second to last show of the week. And you come in with a bad attitude. I don't understand it. You do?
Yeah.
What happened to you? Why such a good attitude?
I mean, I got these notes here about the scrimmage we can get into that I've
You don't
prepared.
Have any notes.
I do, too.
Okay, give me a note. Give me one of your notes.
Josh Heupel said he thinks it was really good for the young guys.
So you're reading an article about the scrimmage. You didn't do any back work, any hidden detective work like I did.
Defensively, they got to get some work against the tempo.
Wow, that's groundbreaking,
guys. Got to get in some situational football.
The defense went against our offense and had to go against tempo. That's good stuff.
Got some third and short and some overtime work.
I actually did have that written down.
Overall, he was pleased.
This guy just comes in and reads an article, steals all my notes. What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Maybe.
We're trying to do a professional radio show.
Did these at the house and you, emailed them
Hickman,
to myself. And
Hickman,
I pulled them up on this
Hickman.
Computer.
Hickman. The next show prep you do will be the first. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, for me to do no show prep these last 2 days, I feel like I've been pretty good.
I don't know. You did go list season on us. Which is, I don't know, I like list season, but some people say it's kind of the cop-out of sports radio when you just list things.
No.
No?
See, I'm the kind of guy, okay. I like having a list for everything, so.
You like when you go to the grocery store?
Not that, because usually.
Not that list.
No.
Not so you don't forget anything, just the top five environments, top five week one games, week zero games, honorable mention, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But if you need to remember something, you're not going to make a list of the things you need to not forget.
I can go to the grocery store and usually, if I go grocery shopping, it's like a, hey, I'm going here for steaks, maybe some pasta.
So you're probably the guy who goes in one way, gets halfway across the store, realizes you forgot something, has to walk all the way. So you're not as efficient.
I'm pretty efficient because I grocery shop quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, big grocery shopper?
I'm a big cooker, so.
I cook also. Do you like to grocery shop?
It's therapeutic in some ways.
Some people hate it. I don't mind it that much. Brett, you big grocery guy?
Only when I have to.
Fair enough.
Been on a big Whole Foods kick lately.
Oh, money bags. Jeez. Didn't know you had it like that.
I mean, they got all the Olipop in the world.
You are a big Olipop guy.
Their hot bar.
The hot bar's good.
Yeah, it's legit.
The hot bar's good. The food, you pay for it, but the hot bar is good.
Yeah, I believe
they got like just about everything you'd want in there.
Oh yeah.
Right?
The other day I got some quinoa, some teriyaki chicken, some potatoes.
Quinoa, huh?
And I think it was like $14.
At least you didn't call it quinoa.
Yeah.
I mean, do you like quinoa?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I think I prefer it to rice.
That makes one of us.
Don't mind either.
You don't mind it or you don't?
No, I mean, I'll eat either. I don't have a preference one over the other.
Okay.
But
maybe I haven't had good quinoa. What's your what's your favorite quinoa?
Oh, I have no idea.
What is quinoa? Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay,
really.
just here it is on the plate. I'm going to eat this. It's good.
I mean, it looks cool.
It looks cool?
Looks like little miniature fish eggs. Kind of.
As opposed to giant fish eggs? Aren't most fish eggs already fairly small?
Yeah.
I think of caviar. Have you ever had caviar?
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
No.
Ah, so it's seeds.
Very good. We're teaching Hickman what he eats. So you just put.
He said he went to the grocery to buy this stuff, right?
He gets it off the hot bar.
I got you.
Used to buy this quinoa where it comes in a bag, and you microwave it. The bag, it expands.
Yes, that's typically what happens.
And then the quinoa is ready in like 2 minutes.
Do you have to add water?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm, that would make sense. Big hot bar guy. So you're just shoveling stuff into your body. You have no idea what it is.
I mean, most Americans do the same thing.
That's actually a pretty fair point,
yes,
I would say. Well, boys, where do we want to start? I would say the listener probably wanting a little bit of information on the huge scrimmage yesterday. There's also, I feel like we have neglected the NFL thus far.
Yeah.
I realize we're only 10 days into August, but the NFL has not gotten maybe the run on this show that it rightfully deserves. It is the NFL.
I could go on and on about the NFL if you'd want me to.
You could not go on and on about the NFL. You could go on and on about a particular player and somewhat a particular team in the NFL. I would not say you could go on and on about the NFL at large. Fair point? Or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not really.
No, it's good. You kind of waffled a little bit there.
So would you say I'm an expert though on a particular team? I'm pretty much a beat writer for them. You know.
To do that, you have to cover the team at practice and then actually write about them. So,
well, I could be.
What would you write about yesterday's practice for the Bucks?
Tom Brady
looks so good. Oh my God. He probably had another off day yesterday, so you wouldn't even know that because you don't cover practice. Brad tweets in and says, the more you lie, the closer we get to releasing the photo. So be careful. Jake sent me several last night, so I'm well equipped to out you. Has there been any progress on the...
No
progress at all. Have you given up?
I've not given up. I've rerouted my mission.
Interesting. We'll talk about that more off air. I don't want to put your business in the street too bad, but to say I'm disappointed in you is an understatement.
You really shouldn't be. We discussed this yesterday.
You discussed it. You didn't listen to what I said, and you completely disregarded my point. That's what happened.
You disregarded my point.
Your point is moot. I actually had a good point. You are being superficial. And you could be dead wrong, by the way. That's why it's important.
Me, dead wrong.
I realize a picture's worth a thousand words, but in person tells the true story. anyway, we'll get to that later. So should we start with the scrimmage?
Yeah, I got a lot of notes here.
You did no work whatsoever. I actually did work. Josh Heupel on the scrimmage, quote, "It was a really good day." That's huge, guys.
Yep.
That's huge. Really good day. As Hickman already mentioned, due to his terrific note-taking, they obviously worked on tempo, no surprise there. Mm-hmm. They also did third and short, red zone work, and a couple of overtime periods. Did we have an overtime game last year other than the bowl game?
Let's see.
I don't think so.
I don't think we did.
Nope.
It's interesting to practice that. I mean, is it overtime different this year?
It's after the – is it the second overtime? They go to alternating two-point conversions?
I think so.
I think that's a good thing. That was a big problem for a lot of teams. They would only have two or three two-point conversion plays, and now with the new overtime rules, it's more likely to you're going to have to come up with a bunch more, which I'm fine with. And I trust Heupel to design a few plays that close to the goal line.
Do you think if we did get more overtimes, he would just, rather than kick it, just try and go for the 2 points? Like if –
I don't know.
I mean, maybe it depends on the opponent.
He seems like a gambler. He seems like a guy who...
I mean, he seems to want to trust his offense more than the kicking game, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, he was pretty aggressive in the bowl game.
I mean, isn't the two-point conversion just 2 yards out, right?
2 yards.
I mean, but that was one of our weaknesses last year, short yards, too.
Yeah, they worked on that a lot yesterday, too, said the offense got better.
But I would trust a fade to Tillman or... Maybe.
Everyone says fade. Apparently, that's like the lowest percentage throw in the
red zone.
I mean,
it's probably the hardest, but not that I have any experience throwing a fade.
You could throw a fade.
I threw a good one out here the other day.
To who?
Jake.
You threw a fade to Jake?
He dropped it.
Was it off target?
Was it off target?
No, like he literally just dropped it right through the hands.
I don't know why you have to attack Jake like that. It seems a little unfair. Maybe, was it a wobbly spiral? You're probably a big wobbly spiral guy.
I don't think it was too bad.
Not too bad.
Bert McCoy didn't scrimmage.
No, he did not. Still.
I don't think Haddon did either, did he?
No, he did not. You guys are really blowing through these notes.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. McCoy, they did say it was not eligibility related. It's because he tweaked something on Saturday. It sounds like he's been... When healthy, been playing pretty well.
Yes.
After the first couple of days where they said he looked a little bit out of shape.
I don't understand how he's out of shape. I've never understood that.
He had a hip injury over the summer.
Okay.
So he
wasn't get to work out.
He couldn't do as much running.
He's been on campus.
I don't know. Yeah, when did he get to campus?
I don't remember.
He's been here a minute, right?
I thought so.
I mean,
start of the summer, maybe?
Didn't he commit early spring?
Was it early spring or after the spring? I don't know. It was so weird because we were on the scholarship reduction until June something.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, he could commit before that, but you wouldn't actually use your scholarship until you got on campus. I would guess he probably got on campus for the first session of summer school. I could be wrong. He wasn't like the most hyped transfer we've ever gotten. Certainly not the most hyped receiver. Are we a little worried? I mean, obviously the eligibility thing, like if he can't play, that's worst case scenario, but I guess the injury now in fall camp, you just wonder how far along he could be. And obviously, how long is he going to be sidelined with this?
Yeah, when you're not cleared, when you got an injury, you're not going to be priority, really, moving forward.
Right, and I know the staff said they felt confident about the eligibility, but now with the injury and eligibility issue, it feels like this would be a time where you're going to have to start getting other guys ready in case he's
Absolutely.
Hurt, in case he's not eligible, which is why... The hope was obviously that the NCAA would make their decision much earlier as opposed to later. So I don't know when or how much that shifts what they want to do with Bruce. Obviously, you continue to practice him, but when it comes to a scrimmage setting, let's say he was 100% healthy today, do you continue to give him reps with the ones, which is who he was working with, or do you start to get, I think they said yesterday, Walker Merrill and Ramel Keaton split reps with the ones on the opposite outside receiver spot.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I didn't know if they were doubling up Hyatt, let him run the route tree.
Hyatt's been working in the slot. They said Jimmy Callaway had a nice day yesterday, which is consistent with him being inconsistent. You know, two days ago it was Jimmy Holiday who was having a good camp, and then yesterday Jimmy Callaway shows up in the scrimmage, which is nice. But
yeah,
I think he's really talented. I don't think he'd ever be an all-SEC type receiver, but I think he's a guy, you get the ball in his hands, he can make a play. You just got to get it in his hands and make sure he catches it.
Here's a hypothetical. Would you rather have Brew McCoy or Isaiah Nayor?
I really like Nayor, man.
Same.
I mean, I like Brew McCoy is – he's kind of like Tillman. He's a big physical guy. I don't know what his 40 time – like Isaiah Nayor was a flyer.
He was going to be
– he's like Justin Hunter.
He was going to take over Javonte Payton's role probably as your deep ball home run touchdown hitter.
Yeah, and he's probably – he's definitely more physically gifted than Payton.
He averaged 21 yards a catch this
year. I know.
Year.
Did you go back and watch all of it?
He was filthy.
He was good. He
could contort his body. You don't think it mattered to the competition? Playing at Wyoming, is that where he was?
Yeah.
Does
that factor in? I mean,
maybe certain games, yes. But I mean, if you just watch him, he was really good. I mean, he was a sub 4-5 guy, 6'3".
And McCoy, we didn't really see a whole lot of. I mean, I wasn't really paying that close attention to USC, to be honest. But
well, they were so bad the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But no, he didn't. I feel like his freshman year might have been his best year. And then last year, he didn't even play.
Yeah.
I don't think. And then obviously,
thought he was smaller, like a slot guy.
McCoy?
No, Nayor.
He's skinnier, but he's not small. He's a taller guy. Tall, lean guy. Like I said, he's not as big as Justin Hunter, but he's a similar type.
I got you.
Type of player.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Any more scrimmage notes, Hickman? You got any? I got a bunch. I was just curious. I didn't want to step on your toes with all
didn't,
the.
Didn't your boy make
work.
A play?
Did he make a play?
Yeah, the bull got fed.
Did he make a play?
I was just praying it wasn't Hendon.
It was absolutely. It was absolutely Hendon Hooker that fed him.
Yeah.
But the
play was nice.
Did you see it on Instagram?
Yes.
Hickman, have you seen? Did you do your research and find the play that we're talking about?
I don't need to see it.
Why is that? You can picture it in your mind, and it's beautiful.
I would look it up, but I'm watching Brew McCoy highlights right now.
Oh my goodness.
There's really not that much.
Yeah.
Well, this is him against UCLA, so apparently he had a good game.
Is that what it says? Is it UCLA Brew McCoy highlights?
Yeah, it's just his highlights.
We'll hit a quick break, and Adam Hickman will give you the full Brew McCoy breakdown from.
Him? Oh, there he is.
This is. Do you want to? Never mind. We'll take the break now. Is the Brew McCoy breakdown complete? Or did you get sidetracked with something else?
No, I was not.
You know, focused detail in a specific topic is key in this industry.
Well, thankfully, in the highlight video I was watching, Brew only had one catch for about 7 yards.
How did he look on the catch?
Fine.
There you have it. The official Brew McCoy breakdown against UCLA. One catch, 7 yards, fine.
Yeah. I was expecting a little bit more because usually when players have like a whole YouTube video with their name, like, hey, Brew McCoy versus UCLA, you're probably expecting them to show out a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you
Did you finish the video?
Yeah.
So he really only had one catch, 7 yards, and a lot of blocks.
Yeah, a lot of blocks.
How did he look blocking?
Hey, he missed a big one.
Well, that won't cut it.
Yeah, but I got my takeaway from the scrimmage.
You got your takeaway?
Yeah.
Who'd you get it from?
Myself.
Okay. Hickman's biggest takeaway from the scrimmage is what?
Apparently it was injury free.
There you go.
A couple of guys who might have got a little bit banged up here and there, but nothing major.
Well, it is football.
That happens.
It is football.
Injury free. You know, that's one of our big keys to stay healthy. Depth in some places is kind of questionable. So,
but we do have added depth at receiver. Added depth along the defensive line. Apparently, Heupel thinks they're going to be deeper and a lot better at pass rush situations.
Apparently, Barron's been playing pretty good.
Sounds like it. He and Byron Young. Sounds like they're kind of ready to go.
That could be a great duo for you.
Barron and Byron?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going to call it? Is that officially the Hickman nickname?
I don't know. B&B.
B&B. Like bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. Apparently, Jeremy Banks' interception was the only turnover of the day. And it was I know you haven't seen it yet, but it was a really, really nice play by him out in the flat.
Yeah, it has been a toe-tapping
interception.
It has been described as a better play by Banks than it has been just a bad play by Hooker.
Heupel was very complimentary of Hooker.
I saw that.
Said he did a pretty good job protecting the football, but as far as command of the offense, getting them out of bad plays and into good plays, turning negative plays into gains or at least zero loss situations, I guess that means he either got back to the line of scrimmage or threw the ball away. It's hard not to feel really good about Hendon Hooker at this point. I mean, considering how much better he got from the Pitt game to the end of the season, and now with a full offseason as the guy, I mean, coming out of the spring game last year, I feel like everyone was pretty split. Like, some liked Hooker, some liked Harrison Bailey, and then when obviously Joe Milton got here in the summer, he kind of wowed everybody at camp. But with a complete offseason as being the guy, you'd have to think his confidence is super high. He's more comfortable, obviously, in the system. Sounds like the players around him, especially guys like Jalin Hyatt, have stepped up and kind of, in his case, rededicated himself to not only the team but the game of football, making sure he's in top physical shape. He was complimented, as was Jimmy Callaway yesterday. It sounds like the guy who had the best day, though, was Jabari Small.
Yeah, saw that.
What did you see? Good stuff. Yeah, he got
pull up my notes
he got
here.
25 to 30 reps, and a couple people who were at the scrimmage said he was that dude.
Well, that's great.
Safe to say he's your running back one. I don't think anybody will push him for getting the starting nod. The key thing with Jabari Small is
health.
Yeah, I mean that's the key.
I mean, he's a shifty little dude.
He juked
that Kentucky guy out of his shoes last year.
It was a pretty subtle juke too.
Yeah,
just good lean, and the guy just kind of collapsed and dove at nothing. Are we still a little worried about short yardage since we don't have that true power back?
Yes.
I mean, it looks like Jabari Small is a lot bigger. There was a picture going around of Jalin Wright yesterday. He looks like he's gained.
Yeah.
His upper body is, I mean, he's got arms that look like a Georgia running back right now.
Yeah.
And he was a little slight last year. So shouts out to the strength and conditioning program. Sounds like they're putting in the work. It sounds like Dylan Sampson also had a pretty good day. There's a video of him. He scored a touchdown. I don't know if it was a swing pass or a run, but he got the edge and scored a touchdown before, I believe it was, who's zero? Turnage is two, right?
Yes, Turnage is two. I don't know who zero is.
Where's Turnage three? Anyway, he got the edge and got a touchdown. And Heupel was also complimentary of Justin Williams-Thomas at running back. Said he's a completely different player right now than he was in the spring, which is pretty typical.
For.
Yeah, I mean, you want to hear, if you don't hear something like that, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but when you do hear he knows the system a lot better, he's bigger, stronger, faster, I mean, that's, I don't know how much we're counting on him, but as long as he can give you some quality reps and obviously depth at the running back position, hopefully the injuries aren't as much of a problem as they were last year.
Right.
But should some pop up at that position, as they normally do, it's nice to seemingly have a handful of guys. He mentioned Lynn J. Dixon, said the race is on for him to learn as much of this playbook as he can, as fast as he can. I thought it was kind of interesting. He mentioned all the newcomers as a whole and said our plan for them changes. Like, we want to have them, you know, be able to do this by week one, this by week three, this by week five, which is good. I don't think you want to just force feed them everything, you know, between now and game one. Kind of develop them as the season goes along, which I think is smart. And the schedule kind of allows you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, by week two, obviously, it seems like that's, you're probably going to get a heavy dose of Jabari Small against Pitt. I think that's safe to say.
Right.
And hopefully by maybe Florida, some of those other guys are coming on a little bit more comfortable in the offense with the tempo.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, again, health, kind of the biggest concern there. Right now it's Ramel Keaton, Walker Merrill, and Brew McCoy on the outside. Callaway, Squirrel, and Hyatt in the slot. I'm wondering if Hyatt gets moved outside at all. If
I'm sure he will.
I mean, yeah, they're going to mix him up a little bit, but I was surprised to hear nothing about Squirrel yesterday.
Or Caleb Webb.
That's your boy, huh? Yeah. I'm high on him, too.
I just don't know how much we'll see him.
Well, I wonder how much of it is.
I think it's easier for Squirrel White to kind of jump in this offense instantly and make an impact than it is a guy like Caleb Webb.
I would agree. And I just think this offense, with the tempo and what you have to learn at receiver as far as reading defensive backs, reading coverages, and doing it so fast, usually receiver, when you have a talented freshman, you can give them 3-4 routes, right? Like, hey, you're fast and tall. You're just going to run straight down the field. This offense, the play kind of changes within the play depending on what the defense does. That seems to be a little harder for freshmen to pick up at wide receiver in this offense as opposed to maybe a true pro style where you're just saying you're going to run a 3-yard slant no matter what. You're going to run a fade no matter what. You're going to run, you know, a post no matter what. This offense kind of changes depending on what the defense does post-snap. Josh Heupel said he's pleased with the battle at left tackle. I'm not pleased with
this. He kept saying until I watched the tape, which makes sense. I mean, he was fresh off the practice field.
It's coach speak, and that's fair. Jeremiah Crawford did get the start.
He did.
And it seems like he's maybe slightly ahead of Mincy, but at this point it still seems as if a rotation, at least early in the season, is likely. I'm just going to let that hang out there for a minute.
Yeah,
Nate gets back tomorrow. He's going to have a fit. He's going to have a fit when I tell him that Golish said they're probably going to rotate at left tackle.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's not great to hear that word. I mean,
it's great if it works.
You don't just want to stick somebody out there if you're not 100% confident in him, I guess. I don't know.
It's great if it works. It's great.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand how we're three staffs deep, and there's always at least one position or several where we're going to try a few different guys, and it ends up like offensive line's one of those things. And I've talked to, you know, some former offensive linemen, and like routine and knowing who's to your left and to your right, or obviously if you're left tackle, it's just to your right. Like, that's important play by play. Like, you know what they're good at, you know what you're good at, you know where you might need to help them or they may need to help you. It feels like if you have two different guys who are maybe good at different things, that gets a little confusing and you don't have the continuity. And of all the groups on the football field, that might be the one that continuity is the most important. And when I hear that out of one ear and then out of the other, it's, yeah, we're going to rotate.
Yeah.
Like running back, sure, rotate them. Keep them fresh. Receiver, yeah, the guy just ran 70 yards down the field. It was incomplete. Yeah, he probably needs a playoff or two. Offensive line, it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
No one else does that.
Well, that we...
I mean...
We don't know that...
They don't do it as much as we do it.
No.
I mean, Nebraska leaves their starting offensive line in with the third string in the first game of the season because they want those guys to get the reps together. I'm not a big fan of the rotation.
I mean, you guys don't like the rotation in any spot on the offensive line, right? But even more so at left tackle. Which is,
no, I don't. I want five guys that are your best five and get them used to playing together as much as possible. Because things change.
And get them as many reps together as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, maybe it works out. It was either Dave Bartu or Adam McClintock, where they rank all the coaches, and they have Glenn Ellerbe as a top 10 offensive line coach. So I'm not here to say Glenn Ellerbe doesn't know what he's doing. Golish mentioned that they've rotated offensive linemen in the past, and it's worked out. This is the SEC. It's a little bit different. And you get Pitt in week two, and their defensive line is ranked, did you say third? The third best defensive
line?
One of
them, well, yeah, behind like Georgia and Clemson or something like that.
So, yeah, a little bit nervous.
Absolutely.
It might work out, and that'd be great.
But I mean, the only thing that helps is our offense is get the ball out of your hands pretty quick. Get it to playmaker.
Yeah, but we gave up 36 sacks last year.
I mean, yeah.
I think Hooker was sacked 36 times. It might have been even more than that.
It didn't feel like that much, though.
It's because we have so many plays.
Oh.
It's the same way we had a lot of penalties, but it doesn't feel as bad because you have so many plays in a game.
And Hendon made up for a lot of, you know, other.
And hopefully he'll do that again this year. You're going to need him to. I was going to ask that yesterday. I wonder if they lean on him running as much this year. As many designed runs as they did last year, especially early. Like when he came in against Pitt and a little bit in some of those earlier games when he got the starts. I wonder if they'll rely on as much designed runs with him this year or if they can. I mean, because we were so banged up at running back, you didn't have a ton of options. I would like to see him run less if possible.
Yeah, you don't want him. I mean, he got hurt doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would prefer he stay healthy. I think that would be the best case for everyone. We'll hit a quick break, come back, continue the conversation. Hickman's scrimmage notes du jour coming up. To join the program, we go straight to the hotlines now. We welcome Matt to the program. Matt, good morning, sir. He hung up on us? Wow.
I don't think he hung up. Call back, Matt.
Way to go, Hickman.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
You scared him off. Do you have your practice notes du jour? Did I miss anything in my rundown here?
You know, one thing I would like to mention.
Okay.
Is how.
Keep scrolling. Yep.
Let's see.
Try to find it. Yep. Here, you keep looking for that. We'll bring Matt on now since he's back. Yeah. Good job, Hickman. Way to stall. Always good. What do you say, Matt? Do these scrimmage notes just get you all hyped up?
Dude, I just went from 9-3 to 10-2, boys.
Just like that.
Good job, Hickman. You got him.
Yes.
Yeah. The injury-free note.
The
was,
Brew McCoy easily, video update.
Yeah, it's one catch for 7 yards. He's not even eligible.
Well, I really
got people going.
I think it was the point you guys said that Heupel said that it was a good practice, and that just
it was a really good day. He said
a really good day. Yeah.
And overall, he was pleased.
God, dude. Seriously, I'm about to come out. I don't know if I can drive this car in. Crazy the energy.
I know. When asked about the Jeremy Banks interception, Matt, he said, quote, "It was a really good play."
Simple.
Unfreaking believable.
When asked about the defense as a whole, he said they were good.
Guys, if our defense is good, that could possibly be an SEC championship. I don't know.
Maybe undefeated. Who knows?
Ridiculous.
Playoffs.
Oh, yeah, whatever, man. I don't know. You know what's weird with this offense? Did you guys think Hendon Hooker? I know he ran the ball decent last year, but when just watching him run the ball, he does not seem like a runner to me.
There's nothing crisp about it. It's always just funky and bizarre, and not pretty.
It's weird.
It's effective.
Yeah, it's
effective, it's not. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm watching Josh Dobbs out there.
Like when he juked that guy out in the pit game where he picked
the spin
up like
move.
He picked up like a 3rd and 17.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the ugliest cool move I've ever seen a quarterback put on a defender.
It's so weird.
His spin move is violent, but not like violent so fast it's scary. Just like woo.
Violent so fast he's going to disorient himself and he
and
might
just
be
tripping.
Running.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Is it true? I guess he said that he played with some broken teeth against Alabama. I guess that's really
said he lost four teeth on that hit to the head that they didn't call, of course, because you're on the road at Alabama.
Did they confirm that was the hit that did it?
I think so. Yeah, because he came out for a couple plays after that.
So they don't call a penalty on that. He gets four teeth knocked out.
Right.
And it's just Alabama, man. I mean, I hope we get some of that sauce up here this year. You know, I really do.
I'd take it.
I did have a dream literally last night about
that
game.
Oh, wait, this is big. This is huge. About the Alabama game?
Yes.
Here?
Yes.
What was the dream? This is huge.
I'm probably going to be taking Tennessee to win that game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah!
10-2, my Look, foot. There's 11-1 right there.
It was a vivid dream. We got up early, big.
Big,
yeah.
Early.
I mean,
I like it.
We had a defensive score.
That'd be nice.
The first touchdown of the game was Hendon Hooker up the seam to Cedric Tillman for a 30-yard touchdown.
You remember it was a 30-yard touchdown?
I just remember. I'm just guessing. It had some air to it. But.
Hickman, this is.
Did you say first play of the game?
Not
no,
first
just first touchdown.
I thought you were describing Joey Kent in 97.
Hey, I told you yesterday that I thought we would we'd snatch one of those two between Georgia or Alabama. I just didn't know which one. I think Hickman just confirmed.
So number one,
is that like
undefeated Alabama comes in here and we knock them off the pedestal, huh?
Hey, if you guys read the Bible, you know, in the Bible there's a lot of stuff about prophecy, which I did yesterday, and there's a lot of stuff about dreams, which Hickman did last night. And those two usually coincide together, and then you have to have confirmation, which we just had this morning. Mm. Guys, I'm telling you what, I got a little bit of a tingle right now.
So did you just go from 9-3 to 10-2 to 11-1?
No, 11-1. Whew, man,
That's too much. That's a little too far. We'll hang on to 10-2 for now.
Okay. He's driving.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you do realize though, like if Cedric Tillman does score the first touchdown, if we do have a defensive score and we do beat Alabama, I might be referred to as a god in Knoxville.
Well, you are the king of Coda.
That's true.
That's true. Hey, we're Sevier County boys, Hickman.
Hey, we stick together with our
dreams,
optimistic
lame ass predictions, with our lame ass things that aren't going to happen.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. You just went from prophecy to...
I'm a humble God, Houston. I'm not going to sit there and just brag about that. I know it's going to happen, but I'm trying to... You know, the listener out there is probably like, oh, Matt's so cocky. I'm not coming across that way.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm doing that.
That's probably smart.
Hey,
protect yourself a little bit.
Oh, Liv Tor got dealt a left-handed hook yesterday, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
We'll
dive into it deep.
But no, Matt, it's fine. Because did you see the report also that the guys who are winning on the LIV Tour, that they have to pay that money back up into whatever their signing bonus was?
Yeah, their upfront money.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. What now?
Yeah, so let's say, like, Cam Smith, that was announced yesterday, he had signed apparently before the Open Championship for $100 million. So before he makes any more money, he has to pay back... I'm guessing it's not the $100 million, probably whatever after taxes that he would coop. But he has to pay that back from his winnings until he goes over the number he got for the signing bonus. Which is not what they've been saying.
I don't think he's signed yet because he's playing this week in the tour event. Because I'm pretty sure it's the FedEx Cup playoffs start today.
Once he plays, and there hasn't been an event since he's been announced. But he signed with them before the Open.
Yeah, he said no comment yesterday, but I don't know. I don't know for the fact. But yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it's like anything else. If these guys want, I bet you the LIV Tour is probably maybe likes the press. But there's a part of me that kind of wants this thing to keep going, because I think a trial is going to come out sooner or later. I think yesterday was just the icing on the cake of what those guys are going to try to do. And the PGA is going to fight it tooth and nail. But I'm kind of interested to see, because you'll get some stuff dug up on this LIV Tour. And I bet you anything, there's a lot of demons in those closets on how this money's been passed around, what's been going on.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping this thing comes through, and I'm glad the PGA is fighting it as hard as they can, because, quite frankly, all these guys that have jumped, man, are just, punks and clowns in my book.
Well, their argument was just so stupid.
They're keeping
us from earning money, and it's like you've already earned more money by going to the LIV Tour than you would have. It just doesn't make any sense,
guys. I got no problem with them going to play. There's no issue there to go get the money. Go ahead and go do it. But these guys, to have your cake and eat it too, like to say that you're going to go play for a competitor and you still want to be able to come and play for it, makes for the PGA. That makes no sense at all to me. And they're trying to sue the PGA for, the verbiage they use?
Antitrust, right?
Antitrust, yeah. Which is just so. It's like you went to work for the competition. That's not how the world works, guys. I'm sorry.
Right.
Spoiled brats, man. Anyways, love you.
Be good, Matt. Thanks for the phone call. Sure, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Nate is eagerly awaiting your call. I say that sincerely. We like Matt. I like Matt. You got a problem with Matt Hickman? Is that what you're saying?
We're boys.
Clearly.
Sevier County.
Final segment, first hour, coming back after this. Final segment, hour number one, 3 and Out Fan Run Radio. Hickman, have we missed anything from the scrimmage report? Anything we failed to talk about?
James Pierce.
Did he do something?
No. They're just very high on him.
But not scrimmage related?
Not scrimmage related.
But besides the pick, did he mention any other linebackers? Mitchell, Beasley, anybody?
No.
He didn't really talk about them much, no. Did he?
Mm-mm. To get mentioned, you probably have to be near
a there was play. I'm surprised there was Beasley no questions came. Asked about him.
What are you doing? Taking a shot at Beasley.
I'm just being honest.
He can't help. Banks is all over the field.
I mean, there literally was a game last year where he didn't even register with whatever defensive metric that was.
You know
was.
Why? Because they ran away from him.
Yeah.
They tried to avoid him as much as possible. Also, I'm not saying Heupel doesn't pay attention to defense, but clearly he's an offensive coach. Like, he's got his – I will say during some of the practice clips, there was one where he was mic'd up a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. and he was very complimentary of the defense after an interception or a fumble or something like
right.
that. So he knows and he pays attention, and obviously he's going to celebrate his defensive guys when they make a play. But you know that in his heart of hearts, he's just like, offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime they make a good play, yeah, they're my team.
Just
I have
a
to
golf clap.
Yeah, I have to compliment them, but let's be honest, this is my offense failing, and I need to go back and fix this or get this guy off the field who either threw the pick, obviously not Hooker yesterday, dropped the pass, whatever. He's an offensive guy. I got no problem with that. Every coach has their favorites. Still at about 8-4, 9-3?
Yeah.
Or has that dream sent you over the over to the 10-2 zone?
Well, if I put a lot of faith into this dream I had, it's going to be 10-2.
So who are the two losses if we beat Alabama?
Georgia and LSU.
LSU, huh?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Apparently, like, you can't get a ticket to that game if you're a Vol fan right now.
I thought I saw some people had ordered some through LSU's ticket office. They might not have come in yet, but are they sold out?
Well, I've been seeing screenshots of Tennessee fans, multiple Tennessee fans who have been trying to get through, and it's like their allotted ticket mm-hmm. number has been
exceeded.
Fulfilled, and if tickets come available, they'll let them know.
A buddy of mine just sent me his flight confirmation. He's going. I think there's going to be a lot of Tennessee fans.
I think there,
there
will be two.
That seems to be a trip.
I mean, it's
more so than any I've seen so far this year.
It's a bucket list venue.
Yeah, what was it on the rent? Was it 4?
Yeah.
Yesterday?
Comes in about number 7 or 8 for me. But.
Well, naturally, yeah. I mean, that their list is not your list. I was just. I've heard bad things about making that trip, especially if you win while you're down there. I've heard it gets pretty rough after the game.
I thought about it.
Still going this year?
It. The thing is, like, the guys are going to go with, like, half of them wanted to go to the game, half of them just wanted to go somewhere and watch it down there and be down there.
What's the point of that?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, if I'm going to go, I'm going
to go down
to
Bourbon
game.
Street.
I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to go to
it's not a
New
bad,
Orleans.
It's not a bad drive, I don't think.
No, it's like, what, 8.5 hours?
Is it
and
that?
It's
I wasn't
central
sure.
time, at least on the way down, I believe.
I think I
yeah,
have
once a, you get past Chattanooga.
Yeah, but I think we have a wedding to attend that Friday.
How many weddings do you have?
Dude, like I got a lot of buddies that are getting married.
And you won't even talk to the tool girl.
Well, to be fair, I do run around with an older crowd, so.
Oh.
Is that a brag?
What no, I don't know. I don't know.
Is
he talking about us?
I'm one of the youngest ones in the group, so.
Well, you're the youngest on this show. How does that make you feel?
I don't care. I like being young.
You like that's good.
Yeah,
good. What choice do you have at this point? You know,
it's not like I can change it.
So wait, they want to go like what? Drive or fly into New Orleans?
Yeah.
And then would you go to Baton Rouge for the game or just hang out in New Orleans?
We go to Baton Rouge
and not go to the game. Maybe try to scalp some tickets if you can find a good deal
for the ones who wanted to go. You know.
I mean, if they were to drop a game or two before.
It completely loses the luster.
I don't think it loses the luster. I think you could get in a lot cheaper. I saw they got a 5-star receiver 2 days ago. So maybe Brian Kelly not going to. I think he was from Louisiana, which if you're from Louisiana and LSU's halfway worth a damn, you basically go to LSU.
Unless Tulane's having a good year.
When's the last time that happened?
Probably since they were in the SEC. They did
no,
almost beat
no,
Oklahoma.
Didn't they have an undefeated season? Did they go undefeated the year Auburn went undefeated?
I can't remember.
2004? I want to say.
When Jason Campbell for Auburn?
I want to say Tulane may have gone undefeated that year, too.
I don't know.
11-1 and then won their bowl game or something. Like it's been a while.
Let's see.
Are you looking up Tulane football pass records?
Yeah, 1998 they went 12-0.
Okay.
Oh, our year.
Yeah. How about that? Really? 98 they were 12-0?
Yep, they finished the season ranked number 7.
Seriously?
It's funny that being ranked in the – they got them to the Liberty Bowl that season.
That's insane. That was so the BCS computer put them at 7, huh?
Yep.
That's a shame. A
couple more losses, we would have played them.
Well, you know, it's funny. Everyone's like, oh, I like being outside of the top 25. It makes the climb that much more fun. That's the main reason Auburn didn't get to play for the national championship in 2004.
Which, yeah.
They started the season unranked, went undefeated, won the SEC championship, and then I believe that was Oklahoma Southern Cal in the Orange Bowl, and Auburn got left out. Then, of course, they won their bowl game. They were 13-0, I think, at the end of the season, but didn't get it. I mean, they claim a title on a couple of those other magazines or polls or computers or whatever, but they didn't get a chance to play. And the only reason was because they started outside the top 25, and it took them forever to climb. And by the time people realized, hey, this Auburn team's pretty good, there were other teams that were kind of established. I want to say that Oklahoma team may have even had a loss. That would never happen now. I mean, if you go undefeated in the SEC, you're automatically in. But I don't know. I wish we were 25. Just to be in there. But take care of business. You'll be ranked soon enough. We'll kick off hour number 2. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio.